let's get back to What Happened on TalkZone.com. Once again, here's your host, Tom Inavnet.
Welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. We're glad that you're here. We hope you'd join us. If you would like to join the conversation, please call us at 888-463-6748. That's 888-GO-FOR-IT. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you know, we spent the last segment speaking about how the power of the Congress has increased, or I should say the power of the federal government has increased to epic proportions, simply because of a decision from the Supreme Court. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm hoping that it doesn't turn out the way that I have depicted it. Unfortunately, I'm afraid that it's going to. And it's not, if that's not enough, if that little bit of control grabbed from us, and understand that, remember that this is projected to be an $813 billion tax hike on the poor and middle class, anyone making less than $125,000 per year. Well, I'm a little bit confused, because in 2009, in an interview with George Stephanopoulos, President Obama said, pretty much as a matter of fact, that this is not the time to raise taxes on anybody, that we can't raise taxes. Now he's insisting, this is new, well, this is not new, we've all heard it before, but this is a resurgence. Now Mr. Obama is insisting on extending the Bush tax cuts for another year, which is a good thing. Okay, we don't need the tax cuts. But for those who are making under $250,000 a year only, anyone making more than $250,000 a year will see some of their taxes as much as double. He's trying to double the capital gains tax. Well, ladies and gentlemen, what is the capital gains tax? Capital gains is what profit is made from an investor investing his money. Okay? It's not income tax, because that income tax has already been levied, okay, when they got paid that money. What it is they've taken the money they've already paid income tax on, they invested in the market, then they get a return, and they're taxed less because it's not income. It's not classified as income. It's classified as capital gains. Now, what that does is it encourages people to put their money into the market, which, by the way, if you haven't noticed, the markets are relatively healthy. I mean, they've been slide up and down and back and forth, and there's lots of issues, but there hasn't been the incredible instability in the market that used to be. But I'm telling you that if he increases the capital gains tax to as much as 40%, you will see a marked withdrawal from the markets, both stock markets and commodities, because it simply will not be cost effective. Now, according to Newsmax, and this is a guy that has probably the worst job in history, Jay Carney, who is actually the spokesperson for the White House, and that must be a tough job. He says the president will not support the renewal of the tax cuts across the board. He will not sign that bill. And this is, again, according to White House spokesman Jay Carney. He told reporters when asked whether Obama would veto any bill passed by the Republican-controlled House of Representatives that keeps the tax cuts in place across the board. Now, he goes on to say, let's not hold a vast majority of Americans and our economy hostage while we debate the merits of another tax cut for the wealthy. So that's what Mr. Obama says. He's flanked by dozens of people at the White House. Now, he thinks that the middle class would benefit from taxing anybody making over $250,000, more than they're being taxed right now, and keeping the tax cuts for all of us making less than $250,000. Tax cut. That's an interesting way to put it. It's not a tax cut, okay? Right now, and that's a funny thing. That's, you know, the government misses words, beats around the bush. They try to substitute, you know, new politically correct terms for what we all know it is. This is not a tax cut. This is the tax rate that was set by President Bush. Now, let me give you a little bit of history lesson. Under Jimmy Carter, the tax rate for people making over $250,000 was upward to 70% of their money, 70%. And the economy was very much like it is right now, in a free-for-all, in a free-fall, on the way down. And it is that way. You know, we discussed last week that our normal recovery rate out of a recession like this is between 11 and 15% per year. Now, right now, it's about 2.5%, ladies and gentlemen. So if you heap on another tax upon that, what do you think it's going to do? And it's going to do to the people targeted, the job creators. I don't understand why they think it's a tax cut. This is a tax rate. Those tax cuts, quote unquote, should become permanent. Ronald Reagan made a 28% top bracket permanent. There wasn't a whole lot of voting and arguing about it. And what happened, for those of you too young to remember the Ronald Reagan years, is that the economy grew by leaps and bounds within that very year, creating upwards to 11 million jobs. That's how you put America back to work. Now, a tax cut would increase the income for the federal government. It really would. Okay? I cannot doubt that. But it's about $85 billion a year. But what difference is that going to make? That's a teeny tiny little bit of money. And just to give you a little perspective on how small amount of money that is, the federal government right now spends about $85 billion in just 8.5 days. So how's that going to help us wipe out the federal budget deficit? It's just not. But what it will do is keep the job creators from creating those jobs. And I've said it many times. I have never been offered a job by a poor man. Jobs are created by people, most of whom are in these small businesses, with businesses of less than 30 employees. These are where we get the vast majority of jobs in the United States. And if we put, now these people classify as rich people. The owners of these businesses classify as rich because they make over $250,000 a year. And we're going to heap more agony upon these people already. They don't know what to do about health care. They're afraid that the rising, by the way, the penalty to the health care, by the way, you know, it rises every year. It's an incremental rise over 10 years. So it's possible that by the end of that 10 years, some businesses will not be able to stay active or open at all because they simply can't afford it. Now, the president's announcement follows an incredibly dismal jobs report. It showed unemployment is still stuck at 8.2%. So why are you going to heap up a new tax on the job creators and have that rate go up? And that doesn't even count the 8.5 million Americans who now claim to be on disability, getting more people on the government dole. Now, folks, this number has jumped by, you know, 40, 50%. We just can't, well, not 50%, but 40%. We just cannot continue to let people get on the public dole, but it's become so easy to get on the public dole that it's preferable to a lot of people. Oh, gee, you know, my left arm hurts. I can't, you know, I can't breathe today. I can't, I've got asthma. I've got this and that. I'm a disabled person. Give me money. And here's the thing. Once you're on the disabled list, you never get off of it. The government will send you money in perpetuity for the rest of your life. So what we have now is we have a new tax hike for those making under $125,000 a year in the form of the Obama tax, and we have new considerations and new insistence from the president to put a tax on those making more than $250,000. It's being demanded by the Obama administration. Ladies and gentlemen, where does it stop? It has to stop with us. That's where it has to stop, because right now it's going to leave a little bitty window of people between $125,000 and $250,000 that won't get taxed. And I'm telling you guys, they'll come up with something to hit that group. I promise you they will. More and more money. Now, ladies and gentlemen, in my house, and I'm sure in your house, when we run out of money, we can't just go out and get more money. When we run out of money, we stop spending. That's what has to happen, ladies and gentlemen. The government has to stop spending. As a matter of fact, let's talk for a brief moment about the Department of Education. It was put in, it was built by Jimmy Carter, once again, put into place, and there is no evidence whatsoever that this massive federal department is doing any value-added work at all for our education. As a matter of fact, standardized tests and all these things that they're insisting on are actually degrading the quality of our education system. So why do we need it? Let's get rid of it. Give that power back to the states where the money will be used next door, not in Washington. And here's the thing. Statistics tell us that the states do get about 11% of their operating, 11% of every dollar of their operating capital. They do get that from the Department of Education. But it comes with strings. It comes with a 16 cents and obligations to the federal government. So, in effect, taking this federal money is pulling money out of the school systems, out of our education. Again, that's something that we could wash away, be done with it. And that, how much would that drop the federal government? Unfortunately, the government will do everything it can to not get smaller. It's a giant beast. It wants to eat more. And I'm telling you, the more power we give it, the more power they'll take, I promise you. But the only way we can stop it is with us. See, John Roberts was right. It's up to us to set things right with the voting power that comes this November. But we can do more than that. We really can, and we need to. We need to call your congressmen, your senators, get involved. If they want their jobs, they better listen to you. And if they don't, hold them to task. You know, it's not like they're up there on the hill and there's nothing we can say. We sent them there. We put them there. We can certainly take them off. Now, understand a couple of things. That one of the biggest issues that we're having right now is the government is stepping in and getting involved in things that they have no business getting involved in. And unfortunately, it doesn't seem that they care what we say. So it's up to us to do it. It really is up to us. Now, we've seen some nasty things happen when states try to get involved. The federal government knocks them back down. I'm going to talk about that a little bit later in the show. But right now, what's happening is they are inching little bit by little bit, getting more and more power, ability to tax us, and they're going to tax us every way they can. I promise you folks, this is just going to happen. What we need to do is we need to go out there and grab them by the throat and say, it's our power, not yours. You know, I never would have thought this. But I'm thinking more now libertarian than I ever was. And I'm not a libertarian. I told you before that I'm a conservative and I'm a Republican. But some of the things that libertarians want to do sound more and more centrist than what either of the other parties want to do. We know that the Republicans and Democrats, they're never going to get anything done. They're too busy fighting over the bone. They want to have the power. Listen to some of the libertarians. Ron Paul had some good ideas and he got a large amount of support. Now, most of his approaches are not something I agree with, but at least he's got some angle, some way to get control back, even if it's not something that we're really, you know, all that interested in. And that's a shame because that voice needs to be heard. I don't necessarily agree with all of their views, but at least they're out there, they're saying something, they're talking about it. And that's what we need to do. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's it for this segment. We will be back right after this.